You dupe me, O Lord, and I let myself be duped. This verse reminds me of a vocational discernment gathering I participated in before I was in the seminary. It's hosted by the Archdiocese for young men and women, discerning their vocation. I didn't know Scripture well at that time, probably still don't know it well. As luck would have it, the facilitator went one by one through the room asking for our favorite verse from Scripture. And so as it was nearing my turn, I thought, okay, priesthood, you dupe me, O Lord, and I let myself be duped. I also thought of this on Thursday here at the church. I can tell you this now because, at least for now, it's been rectified. We've had a bat in here for about the past 2 or 3 weeks, just one of the little bats. And on Thursday, he was hovering around the altar, just flying low around here and around the statues. And in the past, when that's happened, it's indicated that he's getting near the end of his lifespan. He's apparently lacking water or food, getting a little loopy, not hanging out quite so much on the grills up there where he would often hang. So I dismissed the crowd, sent them home. We couldn't have mass with that, and they couldn't be witnesses to what was going to happen next. For someone lent us his pellet gun. And don't worry, it's a catch-and-release pellet gun, one of those pellet guns. And so everyone left. I got the pellet gun, came back in, opened it up, and tried to fit in one of the pellets, only to find that he had supplied us with the wrong caliber of pellets. So fortunately, Tractor Supply was still open. I was able to order online, curbside pickup, ran down there, and young woman came out. I rolled down the window, she handed me the pellets, and even from behind her mask, I could see this surprised and amused look on her face. And I thought, hey, this is official business here. So I returned back to the church, came in here only to find no bat anywhere, until out of the corner of my eye, through the window of that door, I saw something move. Walked over only to see him sitting on that safety bar in the door, just looking at me with no mask. And so I grabbed the pellet gun and went over and saw him on the wall spread out, and I thought, easy shot. But then I thought, why not just open the outside door? And so I did, and freed Willie. And as he flew by, I thought once again of this verse, you duped me, O Lord, and I let myself be duped. So this is the priesthood I signed up for. You duped me, O Lord, and I let myself be duped. You were too strong for me, and you triumphed. All the day I am an object of laughter. Everyone mocks me. It sounds like Jeremiah doesn't fit in, doesn't it? The one who tries not to speak about God, but finds he must, also finds little welcome. With the conventions over and the presidential ticket set, I find myself feeling that I don't seem to fit in much or feel altogether welcome anywhere. Here are a few of the many possible examples. First, from the Biden-Harris tickets. Both Joe Biden and Kamala Harris want to roll back conscience protections for the Little Sisters of the Poor, a group of nuns, even after the Supreme Court recently ruled in their favor. They want to roll back those protections because the sisters object to providing contraception and abortifacients to their employees. Ms. Harris favors taxpayer-paid abortions up to birth, and twice voted against bills that would have required medical care be given to babies who lived through an abortion. And Mr. Biden has recently reversed his position on the Hyde Amendment, calling for it to be repealed so that abortions can be funded by your tax dollars. And when Kamala Harris was questioning a candidate for the U.S. District Judge opening, she suggested that his membership in the Knights of Columbus was a disqualifying factor for his nomination, implying that because of being a knight like our knights, he wouldn't be able to judge fairly and impartially. A writer in the Wall Street Journal recently noted that the issue of religious liberty is already playing out in everything from licensing requirements. The Supreme Court is now deciding whether Catholic agencies that don't place children with gay couples can offer foster care. It's being played out in tax exemptions. Orthodox Jewish schools fear losing their status for adhering to biblical definitions of marriage and to conscience protections. A nurse in Vermont was forced to participate in arranging abortion against her will. Mormons, meanwhile, wonder if the Equality Act, which is meant to protect LGBTQ Americans and is strongly backed by Mr. Biden and Ms. Harris, would make Brigham Young University students ineligible for federal research dollars, Pell Grants, and student loans. I'm reminded of the hard-fought ground of the earliest Christians, scores of whom died because they said to Caesar, "You are not Lord of all. Thus far shall you come into our lives and no further, even at the cost of our blood. For there is a Lord of all to whom even Caesars and presidents are accountable." Of course, there are other issues I could have mentioned, but an issue such as abortion is fundamental, for without life, no other rights can matter. And abortion also bears upon racism, since both depend upon the power of some segment of the population over others who are deemed less human than those wielding the power. There's no coherent way to grant individuals, mothers in this case, the ability to determine who qualifies as a human being, while at the same time denouncing others who attempt to exercise that same ability over other lives, be they black, blue, brown, or white. And these issues of abortion and religious intolerance, promoted as they are on this ticket, have a sad and scandalous relevance for us Catholics, since a Catholic is at the head of the ticket. We cannot judge his heart, we must not, but if he is following his conscience, we can and we must, because of his public office, say with frankness that his conscience has erred, which, among other ways, is obvious in the automatic excommunication of anyone who obtains an abortion. Archbishop Naumann has recently applauded the expansion of a policy by the White House which prohibits the use of federal dollars for abortions. And the other day, Father Matt showed me a clip of a nun who spoke at the Republican National Convention, calling the president the most pro-life president this nation has ever had. She was an engaging speaker, but pro-life has to do with promoting and protecting the sanctity and the dignity of the human person, whether that person is in the womb, the family, the office, the media, or the other side of the world. So much of what this president says, I would never want my nieces or nephews to hear, or to imitate, or to laugh at, which is a way of making the unacceptable acceptable. I cannot point to him as a model to imitate, for he belittles, as in his tweet about Bryant Gumbel. "You must admit that Bryant Gumbel is one of the dumbest racists around, an arrogant dope with no talent." Or in his tweet about Rex Tillerson, the former Secretary of State, who didn't have the mental capacity needed. "He was dumb as a rock, and I couldn't get rid of him fast enough. He was lazy as hell." I can't point to him as a model to imitate because he mocks people, like the disabled reporter from several years ago. He's demeaning, as when he said about Carly Fiorina, "Look at that face. Would anyone vote for that? Can you imagine that, the face of our next president?" He's divisive, which, yes, is exacerbated by the media. He has a way of speaking about foreigners and minorities, which is often hurtful. And he's cruel in dealing with staff, and especially when dismissing them. People and nations seem disposable, cancelable, and relationships transactional. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his character? "You duped me, O Lord, and I let myself be duped. Whenever I speak, I must cry out, violence and outrage is my message. The word of the Lord has brought me derision and reproach all the day. Perhaps I've stirred some such sentiments in some of you. Priests are more or less expected to give an election year sermon, and in your hearing, I have discharged my duty, being unable and unwilling to hold in that burning fire in my heart. Do not conform yourself to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect. For if St. Peter could be an obstacle to Jesus through the influence of Satan, who couldn't be? Free your mind by renewing it according to the pattern of Christ. He is the only Lord. Form your conscience, do your duty, and vote, understanding that all candidates are human and all humans are imperfect. And if you find that you don't quite seem to fit in anywhere because you're trying to offer your life as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, don't lose heart. Only recall that the Son of Man will come with his angels and his Father's glory, and then he will repay everyone according to his conduct.